This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we uncover stories, ideas, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of deep love, relationships, and good sex. Oh, and a little bit of manifestation sprinkled in there too. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Quickies episode where I've got my co-host, my Quickies co-host, Amanda Blair here, dating expert, manifestation expert, LMFT in the works.
In the training.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? I feel like, well, it's funny because when this episode comes out, it's going to be 2024. But right now when we're recording, I am feeling the OMG, it's almost the holidays.
Yeah.
And I have been feeling a little bit of not burnout. Burnout's the wrong word. Just I think my brain wants to move faster than my body physically is going right now. And it's just that end of year push where it's just like, I feel like I'm so close,
totally. But
I'm just like, have a lot of excitement around so many things. I'm just, my body's also like, slow down, lady.
Oh yeah. My body has slowed me way down to the point that I've been like sleeping 10 hours a night, but I think it's like a combo of one, I just sleep so much better since moving to Portland. And I will say that have been interrupted a little bit by having kittens, but for the most part, I sleep pretty well. And it's also like, it's been super overcast, super rainy. So we're not getting any sun. And then it's actually like pitch black dark at 4 p.m. Then it's dark when you wake up. So I just feel like the vibe has been like, chill out. Don't do much. And I'm like, got it. Done. I'll just sleep for 10 hours. We're good.
Noted.
Can do.
I've been sleeping a lot better because I recently got, I'm only on like day five of it, but I recently got mouth tape. Have you heard of
this? Oh my gosh. Yes. And I have tried it and I didn't love it the first time, but I don't know if I need to like give it another go.
Okay. So for anybody who doesn't know what mouth tape is, I learned about it through ultra wellnessy podcasts, like kind of like Huberman talks about this all the time, which is the importance of nasal breathing. And there are studies and it's crazy when you see like the photos before and afters of especially kids who are mouth breathers at night and how it changes not only their jaw structure, but it has so many different ripple effects. Basically, I don't know them off the top of my head, all the ripple effects. You can go Google it, but it's kind of insane. And I realize I'm not a crazy mouth breather, but I'm in and out of mouth breathing and nose breathing. And I know this now because the mouth tape, holy shit, I put it on and I've woken up once or twice wanting to rip it off, but I'm like, no. Do this, keep it on. And I have been sleeping so well.
Really?
And I've been waking up with so much freaking energy. And Amanda knows this about me. And most listeners probably know this about me. I'm a very energetic person. But like the level of energy that I had after these past couple nights of nose breathing, I'm like, I'm a new human.
That is fascinating. Okay. Cause I've heard that from other people that do it. And the first person to tell me about it was this friend that I was close with, but am no longer close with, her brother. And her brother is like super crunchy wellness biohacking guy. Like he doesn't even have fucking internet in his house. He's like doing the thing.
He's like digital detox.
Yeah, forever. He's very cool. Like him and his partner just have this really beautiful, like slow way of living. And they live in Ojai. He, you know, runs a surf brand. He like makes surfboards. He's like very like, oh, very cool. But he told me about it years ago, 3 years ago or something. And I was like, okay. And I tried it then. And I think I ordered something off Amazon and it was the X and it didn't really stay. So I think that's why I didn't.
That's why you need the full.
I need to get different tape.
Yes, I'll send it to you guys. So I use this brand called Hostage Tape. I mean, it sounds not so cute. Like the name Hostage Tape is kind of alarming slash it could get a little kinky, but
like it's a little not great.
It's inappropriate. Yeah.
We'll just bypass that.
We'll bypass that. And then I think I found like a dupe of the exact same one on Amazon. That's a completely different name, but exactly like the same stick on. So anyways, I'll link it in the show notes, everybody. And you can go check it out.
I also heard on TikTok, because I hear about mouth taping on my TikTok probably like 10 times every time I'm on it. It's in my world. And someone recently said, kesanology tape. That works just as well as the like marketed tape. Because it's like meant to stay on your body. Like after, you know, a physical trainer has been like working on you with like lotion. So it like stays on even with skincare.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's smart.
Hot tip. It's also pretty cheap. And so you can like get like a square that like covers, you know, the whole mouth. But I have been wanting to try it again. So this is a push to do that.
Yeah, you really should do it. I put it on my December archetype for one of her daily habits.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, very fun. But anyways, you guys, I'm excited because Amanda and I are here today kind of doing like a 2023 recap. We might be chatting a little bit of 2024 stuff.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe that we're at the end of 2023.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
This is wild. I've also been in Portland for a year. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's so exciting. But yeah, I figured we'll do like a fun back and forth asking one another questions.
Yes.
I think it'll be interesting for you guys to hear, but also kind of take some of these questions. Maybe we'll do a recap at the end of the questions we went over, or as we go, you can even kind of like make note of them yourself. But I think it'll be interesting for you guys to take this as a bit of a reflection for yourselves, because I know there's a lot of pressure around kind of the new year. A lot of people feel, I don't know, they're kind of annual calendar mania. Let's be real. Like it feels like you have to do like all these things January 1, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And I think if anything, listen to this episode, see how it feels for you, even like chew on some of these questions for yourself. You don't have to do anything after. I think that's like, there's a lot of doing around January, and it's actually like reminder here, and I'm saying this aloud to myself as well, because I feel this really intensely as well. Do things at your own pace. You know, sometimes I'm someone who needs to just soak in the new year for what it is and be very present. And then it's like February that I'm like, okay, I'm down to like think of some new things that I want to implement for the year, right? So it's very much choose your own pace.
For sure. And also, I know that this is something that you're into. If the end of the year is coming and you are someone who has a vagina, and that depends on where you're at in your hormonal cycle. If you're in your luteal phase, you're not going to be, oh, let me like plan. And you're going to be like, I need to sleep. You might be reflective, but you might be feeling like kind of like bluesy and low, you know? So it's also depending on just where that's at. If and where you feel like, you know, when you're in that ovulatory and follicular phase, it's like you're much more in that time of like, okay, like let's see what's moving, let's see what's drinking. Like I'm in my follicular phase right now. So I'm like, let me get dressed. The last 2 weeks I've been like, I'm only wearing sweats. That's it. That's all I'm wearing. Because I was in my like luteal phase, you know? So I think women and those with vagina owners don't always pay enough attention to where they are in their cycle and like what that means. Our society super doesn't support that. And I think recognizing those patterns are super important for things like this, or like 2 weeks from December 31st, you might feel like, now I feel invigorated. And it's like, yeah, pay attention to that. Be on your timeline. Don't be on someone else's timeline.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up. And we're also in sync, because I'm also in my follicular and I'm finally feeling like, oh, okay, yes. Like, have a little pep in my step. But the past 2 weeks have been a little bit like,
yeah,
I think that's what I was saying earlier. It's been a slow, like my mind is moving a little faster than my body, and it has to do with my phases.
It totally does.
That's such a great point, Amanda. I figure, should we get into it, or did you want to do we have time to do a little pop culture recap, or was there anything that comes to mind?
There's anything that comes to mind for me pop culturally. You know, end of the year, everybody's winding down. So
yeah,
I don't know. Let's just get into it.
We'll jump right into it. Okay. So I feel like let's start with 2023. One of the things, I feel like this is a good way to ease in, but what was one of your most memorable moments of 2023?
My 1 year anniversary was pretty awesome with Zach. We went to San Francisco, we were already there. And so he like planned, because we switch off planning Valentine's Day and our anniversary. So like it's my year to do plans, then it's his year to do our anniversary. And then it like switches so that it's not just on one person and it's not just on him to like plan like big romantic things. Like he also likes to be romanced. So it was his year to plan the 1 year anniversary, and we were going to be in San Francisco. So because he had a work thing. And so he planned it there. And it was just like the perfect day. And it was just really special to see, you know, like what we had reflect on our time together and our year together and like how special and magical our relationship is and our connection, and just like kind of revel in that. And I think probably the most special thing of that is I had started a journal scrapbooking collage thing for my future partner in 2021. And it was just something like I felt this energy that I wanted to play with. And so I just started like, you know, writing things down or like, you know, kind of recording things and being like, I want to share this with you and I want to share this with you and I want to share this with you. And I gave that to him on our 1 year anniversary. And he was like so moved. And it was just a very special, romantic, sweet, like solidified the way that I feel about him and like the person that he is, like the way that he responded. He just took it the exact way that I wanted him to take it. And it was just such a special, sweet moment between us.
I love that. Wait, can you actually share a little bit more about this scrapbook? How can other people make one if they're in a spot where they want to do something like this?
I did make a reel about it. So it's on.
Oh, we'll link
it. It's on my Instagram, but I can also just like share here. So I got a little journal that I could do both writing and more like collaging in. And I would just, when I was like really feeling like a moment of like, oh, I want to share. My kids just come in. He's so cute.
Amanda's cat just came into the picture and is so cuddly.
He said it's time to cuddle. And when it's time to cuddle, there is no arguing. And so anytime I wanted to, you know, share something with that future partner, any moment that I felt like, oh, I'm feeling really in love or like romantic, I would just take that time and like, you know, write in it or record something, you know, do like a little, I just bought like a bunch of collage stuff and just did like a bunch of random things really, but it was really fun. And it was like a really great way for me to utilize that energy and stay in those feelings that I was creating for myself. Like I very much like felt very connected to myself and that future relationship, which felt really good. And so if you want to create it, get a container in which to record things, whatever that container may be. You know, people could get so creative. You know, it could be digital, it could be something physical, it could be so many things. And then just record down, whether that's writing or auditory or video, something, when you're in a moment where you're feeling like either you're feeling kind of lonely and you're wanting to connect to that energy, or you're feeling already super in love, or you're just wanting to share something about you and your past or this present moment that they're not currently in and you want to remember and, you know, have that be part of like this little time capsule that you can give them. I don't think there's a like real framework or like recipe, so to speak. I think it's really just allowing your creativity to kind of show you. And it doesn't need to look a certain way. It just needs to look like, you know, you and reflect you. And then, you know, if you want to be super romantic, you can give that to a partner who feels like it fits that person on like your, you know, a special anniversary. I knew when I met Zach, that was something that I had like sort of had in my mind. Would I be able to give this to that person? Like, is this a person that is deserving of this? And when I was getting to know Zach, there was definitely, you know, when we were really getting to know each other, I was like, oh, he is someone who's deserving of that. Like, this is the person that I feel like I was really talking to in this. And his response to it was like, I mean, we were both just like crying and just like, wow, it was a really, really special moment. Yeah, it was. It was very sweet.
That's so sweet. I love, love, love that idea. It just feels so... it just feels so beautiful and so tethered to the present, but also like future in such a fun way. I know people who do this in like the sense of when they have like monumental moments for themselves, like even in like their career and stuff, they like film videos and then they look back at their growth almost like a time capsule. Cause sometimes it's hard to remember like you're right where you are, where you once wanted to be so badly.
And it was, for me, it felt like a really fun and creative way to play with the energy, one, that I was already tapping into, and two, that like energy I knew I would be in a relationship. It just felt very fun. Like, it felt super nourishing for me. I loved doing it. It was just great. It was like an all around wonderful experience. And then giving it to him like felt so special too.
That's so nice. This is also reminding me, I want to put a pin in encapsulating like one of our questions. I'd like to talk about the energy of, what was the energy of this past year for you?
Yes, please.
But I'll answer this question really quickly. So one of the most memorable things for me was, it's kind of hard to like bucket it up. And I feel like actually it might segue into this question of what was the energy for this year. But one of the most memorable moments for me was early in the year, in February of 23, I did a talk in New York for DVF.
Pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. This was their first time breaking in their speaker space, which is in their flagship store. It's this amazingly designed DVF prints, like up and down the wall sort of panel room. And we did a whole panel on sexual wellness. And it was the first time that they had done one of these events. Over 400 people showed up.
Your girl's a big deal.
I know. It was so epic to see myself in an experience and show myself that I can do something like this and that I can, you know, speak in large spaces. And I feel like it kind of kicked off a confidence for me that continued into the year of like hosting different events and different panels. And it's so funny because I met some really strong people and community members and peers from that very event that now feel like they have such substance in my life. It's crazy to think that I only met them less than a year ago. So that was an extraordinarily memorable moment of this past year that I think just catapulted me into being like, yeah, I can do whatever I set my mind to. So it was a very empowering space to be in.
I remember that event and that you got a dress from that event. And I was just like, that is so major. Yes. And so cool. And I think it's awesome. And I hope that you just get more and more of those opportunities. And you always get free quilts when you have those opportunities, because who doesn't love a free item?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly. It was like a fashion show.
What's the most bizarre or unexpected thing that happened to you this year? And how did you react to it? Also, just before you answer that, I just want to add also memorable things. My two cats I got this year and I'm obsessed with them. Anyway, moving on. Go ahead.
Wait. Quick caveat here. I loved that Taylor Swift's cat was in her Time cover of the year.
Okay. Actually, yes. Let's talk about that really quick. Sorry, pause. Let's go back to pop culture. Intermission. The timer that, first of all, I was like, fuck yeah, of course. You know, she basically like held our economy together this summer, her and Beyonce. And I did see criticism of like, it would have been cool if her and Beyonce and Barbie like shared that, because it was really like this summer of women. And I was like, actually, you know what? I agree. I think that actually would have been pretty cool. Or just like her and Beyonce shared it. But on the Daily Mail, I think TikTok or something, I don't know, some news outlet, that's not news, but like some outlet of, you know, she won. What do you think? And I was like, she, you know, deserves it. And I had like two people hate comment back to me, basically. And I was like, why is there, oh my God, get over it. Who cares? You know, some guy was like, well, and I was like, shut up. Good God. And what, like, the criticism I heard was like, oh, so someone who like sings a few songs. First of all, that's not just what she does. She is a songwriter, a prolific songwriter. And like, she, music is art. Art is so important, especially in times when the world feels like it is crumbling and we are losing all of our humanity based on what we see, you know, going on externally. It's so important. And I don't think it is a small thing or a trivial thing. I think it's a really beautiful thing. But I love that she had her cat on the cover. I was like, cat women.
It was so good. It was so good. That piece was just a really lovely piece to read. I'm really excited to see whatever, like, I don't know. I think we're all holding our breath for Reputation. If Reputation is out by the time this...
Waiting with bated breath. And that was like so rep-coded and like there was so many Easter eggs going on in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, when is she going to announce it? Because everyone was like, she's going to announce it the last stop of her tour. And then she didn't do that. And I'm like, that does make sense. So when would she... Are we going to have to wait for February? Is she going to announce it sometime in December? Oh, Taylor, let's go. This is why it's fun to be a fan.
I know. It's fun being a fan.
There's so much there. You know what?
And then you're
there's
like...
so much fucking foreplay. And foreplay is the best. Foreplay is the best. That's, you're right. Are right.
I love it. Oh my God. Also, I would like to tie in one of the most memorable moments of my year was going to go see Taylor Swift.
For sure. Yeah. So we had our tops, some smaller ones, my kittens. And seeing Taylor Swift live for the first time, epic. I mean, just incredible. So, like, especially this tour. Yeah, epic. Life-changing. Yeah.
Life-changing. Yeah, I always joke. I say there's a pre and a post Eras Tour version of myself.
In that article, how when the, you know, she was talking about, like, the Kanye trauma and, like, how she felt, you know, she was canceled within an inch of her life and, like, how low that was and her career got taken away from her and... The interviewer kind of pushed back on that a little bit, even though he didn't to her. He was kind of like, but it didn't seem like that because your next record, you know, you were back on top. And I had a couple of people be like, well, you know, yeah, but it wasn't really that way. And I was like, no, no, it was. I, as a fan who was already a fan, when that all went down, I did start to question her. I was kind of like, well, that misogynist propaganda got to me. I was young at that time, so I don't feel like I had the mentality that I do now, but that worked. Like, I turned against her. And Reputation didn't fully get me back. I don't think I came back fully as, like, I'm a fan hardcore until Lover. And now I can go back and go, fuck, Rep is an incredible album. But she did almost lose her career, for sure. Yes, she was able to get back on top because that is how incredible she is as an artist. But, like, that did happen. And I don't think that she's over-exaggerating or being over-dramatic with that.
No, I don't think so either. We've talked about this before, but like, I mean, I fell off the bandwagon for a long time. So much so that like, it didn't switch for me until I saw the Eras Tour.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I was like, what have I been missing out on? Right? But we've spoken about this before where we were like, there was a time in our lives where the misogynistic messages got to us. We believed them. I thought it was quote unquote cool to like be on like Team Kanye because there was like street cred to it. But
that worked and was absolutely true. Like, because as a fan, I did turn against. That happened.
Yeah.
We can't deny her
totally
that experience that she had. Like, that was pretty pivotal.
It was wild.
Yeah.
Speaking of wild
and bizarre, what was the most bizarre and unexpected thing that happened to you this year? And how did you react to it?
Okay. You know what? I've probably had a lot of bizarre and unexpected moments. And watch me, like... I'm going to go to bed tonight and be like, I should have said this, this, and this. So stay tuned for like more bizarre stories to come because now you're going to open the floodgates. But I want to say that the most bizarre story for me that comes to mind immediately was my experience, my psychic experience seeing my great grandmother. That was probably the most bizarre.
What were you doing? And I was like, oh my God, I want to hear more. And I never heard more. So please, please tell.
Yes. No, it's so good. I actually recapped it in one of my more recent solo episodes. But for anybody who also hasn't heard that either, I had this wild experience where a beautiful thing about this past year is I feel like I've kind of just been opening up more to my spirituality, which has just been so much fun. It's been something I've been very playful with. It's been something that I've been crafting that just works for me. It's like, I think I've picked my pieces and parts of things that I feel like tap me into my deeper purpose, the divinity of life. And so a lot of this summer, I spent kind of one of my like greatest outlets. I think a lot of people resonate with this for tapping into any sort of my spirituality and higher purpose and higher self is through nature. So I spent a lot of this summer summer weekends, like lazing in the grass in the park, like under, honestly, I found this one specific tree. It's so crazy.
No, trees heal, man.
Trees heal. I found an affinity for this one tree and I just kept going back, and I'd bring my journal and my crystals and like all my fun books that just explore all these different topics. Anyways, so I had this experience where I was meditating one Saturday morning, and I had, I recapped this in the solo episode, the night before or a couple days before, I had a bone to pick. I was like writing feverishly in my journal about this mother wound that's like been in my family for like lineages. And on the feminine side of my family, my mother's side, that entire mother lineage. And I was like feverishly like just had a bone to pick. I was angry. And it was one of those journals where you're just like, I am raging it out. I think Gabby Bernstein calls it rage on the page. And I was like, this is just rage on the page. There's no destination other than for me to just have this as an outlet. And I think it was the next morning that I woke up and I was meditating. And basically all of a sudden, I had just gotten out of a deep meditative trance and the light kind of had shifted in the room. And suddenly I was like, wait, there's like a spirit here with me. And just a quick caveat in this story, Anna Grace always says this, who's a guest I've had on the podcast before, who does a lot of like Akashic Records readings. Spirits don't just come to you if you're not open to it or ready. So I don't want to say this as in, oh my God, am I going to suddenly meditate and see spirits? I had been asking for this for a really long time. I kept saying to my spirit guides, I'm ready for the next level. I'm ready to kind of open this portal to just communicating more with my angel team. So just quick note there. But anyways, I basically got out of this trance. I was like, there's something here. And the light was very like ethereal, just like all this sunlight was in my living room. And I was like, oh, my great grandmother's here. And then I put out both my hands, which I now realize was kind of a signal of like, please come forward. I'm like receiving of your energy. And it was so crazy. She spoke to me.
Wow.
And what's really interesting that I find about when you speak with divine energy and source is that maybe three or four words are said, but it's like a lifetime of knowledge.
Yes.
And that's your intuition. I feel like your intuition is very clear and succinct.
But I wanted to add, if you're, Zach is like super into astral travel and like astral realm and just other energies and dimensions and stuff. And so we talk a lot about this. And one thing that's always sort of a through line is in other dimensions, other beings in the astral realm, everything is telepathic. There isn't a lot of like spoken language. And so I think if you're communicating with the spirit, so much is being given to you telepathically. Yeah, maybe there's three words, but like what you said, you know, it spoke a lifetime. There was probably so much transmuted to you telepathically that like you were able to receive because you've opened your container to it, which is so cool.
It was so beautiful. And it's only been, you know, she only appeared once. It's because I specifically was talking about this mother lineage. I also believe like certain spirits reveal themselves for certain purposes. She came out and she was just like, basically, long story short, she was like, I want you to know, we didn't have the tools you have now to heal this lineage. And we didn't know better. We did the best with what we could. But basically was like, thank you for healing this. Thank you for closing this door and like looking at this. And then was like, basically she's so cute and like spunky. She was like, and don't you forget, every time you make a soup and every time you get dressed in a fun outfit and every time you drive a nice fast car, because I know you love old vintage fast cars, I'm with you. And I was like, oh my God.
I love that. That's going to make me cry. That's so special.
I know. It was so special. Sometimes I make soup and I start crying. Like, it's actually crazy. Like, she like.
Yeah, that's so cool. That made me really emotional.
No, I'm so happy. She came right up. I was sobbing after this. She came right up to my face. She had the cutest little gap tooth. She came right up to my face and just smiled with her crystal clear blue eyes and like vanished out. And
that is wild.
That's my wild and bizarre story that was literally life-changing.
Incredibly cool. That is so cool.
Yeah.
What a special, special, special thing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, I would imagine that that's going to happen more.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm receptive. I'm open. And
yeah,
it's just so beautiful to know that like, you know, I think there was a bit of, not to go too deep, but like there was a bit of resentment that I had where was my grandmother and where was my great grandmother and like, where's their presence, right? And so to see them like stepping forward is just really cool to be like, okay, well, actually, yeah, you're here, you're stepping forward, like you're a part of my family and my unit and my team, you know? And so that was really beautiful to see.
Also, I just think it's so important to tap into like the mystical and magical energies that are here, you know, because I think that without it, it can feel so like heavy and mundane and like pointless, mm-hmm, right? It can just be like, what is the point of this? Like, just to suffer. And I think that it's nice to get into that, to feel the levity and the lightness and like the divinity of it all. And that helps you tap back into that sense of like love, not just in a very small sense in the way that we as humans would describe it, but like in that like big cosmic sense, mm-hmm, is so important. That scene in Interstellar.
Yes.
When he goes into the black hole and he's like, sees everything and he's just like, wah! And it's that, yeah, you know, like that's so important to tap into in any way you can. So I think that's so rad that you had that experience.
Thanks, Amanda. Yeah. So cool. It was really cool. Okay. Do you have a bizarre and wild story?
Yeah. Mine is not as cool as yours. That's for sure. I feel a little lame balling this up, but, and this is completely different. What happened to me this year that was bizarre is, and I've talked a lot about this on my social media, but I gained weight. I've gained like 20 pounds since 2020. So I'm like a full two sizes bigger than I was pre-pandemic. And it stayed on and I haven't lost it. I also this year took a journey of like, I'm not going to try to lose weight this year. Because I've been on a fucking diet and dieting since I was 12 years old. And I was like, I'm off that train. I need a break. But the bizarre thing was, I'm actually really grateful for gaining weight because it showed me that it's not the end of the world. It's really not that big of a deal. Life does not end. No one hates you. The world doesn't throw stones at you. I'm still very worthy of all the things I would be worthy if I was two sizes small. Like all the fear that I had pre this weight gain, I was just like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like it just doesn't matter. And I'm so grateful for that because obviously, you know, I'm going to be 39 in 2024. What is it? I'm doing my last turning 30. I am getting into that second. Turning 40 is what? I cannot believe that I'm having this conversation even right now. Like, it doesn't make sense. I still feel not that old in my body. But anyway, like I'm getting into that like second part of life. Again, that's a wild thing to say, but like true. And your body will only change more. I'm out of youth, which is also crazy to feel because we put just a premium on body is only going to change more. And like, I hope to get pregnant next year and like all these things. So I'm really happy that I got to face it now. And it's the bizarre thing is it's been such a blessing because it's just taught me so much and it's really helping me heal my relationship to food. You know, ever since I was 12, I've had such a disordered relationship with food. And I just really wanted to clear that up. Mm. I just wanted food to be neutral, to not make it an enemy, but also not emotionally eat. Right. Cause that is like still working against myself. And I wanted to like view it as like, it's just food. It's not bad. It's not good. Like it's just food and you can eat it and nothing's bad. You don't need to be vegan. You don't need to have label. You don't need to only eat organic. You don't need to, you can have fucking processed food. Like to just take away all the shit that we put on our food and just let it be. And I've been working really hard on that. And that has been, it's a lot of work because like, fuck, there's just so much there, like with bodies, yeah, and food and the things and the dieting and all. It comes up constantly and it's something that I have to be really diligent about to be like, no, I can't say that like I won't try to lose weight next year, but I know that if I do it, I will do it from a place of with this renewed sense of self, acceptance and love of my body, even in its bigger size, even two sizes bigger than I've been my whole life. That feels really good and powerful and cool.
That's amazing.
Not a mystical experience. That is pretty dope, but still, you know, it's important to me.
You said bizarre and I went bizarre and unusual. I was like, let's go.
Yeah. which I think is cool and really answered that question spot on.
I love it. I'm really glad you brought up this topic of weight and food and just so many things that specifically women struggle with and, you know, culturally have been really hounded on about, which is just this constant idea of keeping up with certain image and image standards and whatever that might be. And so I think it's really beautiful that you have just entered this point of your life where you're like, you know what, fuck it. Like, I actually don't want to worry about these things. I love the concept of neutralizing something. Like, I love the concept of just like, can we just get to neutral? Whether it's food, whether it's exercise, whether it's your mental stability, it's just like, can we just get to neutral? You know?
On Thanksgiving, and I have, you know, been vegetarian since I was 23. I was vegan for 10 years. I've had these labels, you know, and I've had like, this is good and this is bad, healthy and not healthy, all the things, right? And on Thanksgiving, I wanted to try turkey, so I had turkey. I don't need to have a label.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to eat food that I want to eat when I want to eat it.
Yep.
If I want a cookie, I'm going to eat a cookie and I'm not going to feel fucking bad about it. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. And if I want to like eat a bunch of kale, I'm going to eat a bunch of kale and I'm not going to value that more than the cookie. Like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. It doesn't serve me. It doesn't feel healthy. It puts the stress, which like is way more unhealthy than like the food itself. And I'm just, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to take that into my 40s.
Yeah.
That second part of my life. I want to leave that in these decades and come at food from like a very different space. Zach does not think about that at all. He's not like, oh, I shouldn't eat this. I'm being so bad. Like, he just eats what he wants to eat, you know? And it's like, that must be really nice.
Yeah.
And I want that for myself. So it's been great to work on that.
Yay. Oh my God, I'm so happy.
Yay.
It's a big feat.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your favorite episode that we did together this year?
That's a great question. Probably a tie between the attachment to episodes that we did, or it's like episode and a half. We like did a full episode and then we like touched on a little bit next episode. And then I really liked doing all the reader questions. I thought that was really fun. And I liked doing that a lot. What about you?
Honestly, I was going to say our attachment theory episode was incredible.
Yeah, I really like that.
If anyone hasn't listened to that, that is like one of my favorite episodes I've done with Amanda, just shy of our friend breakup episode.
Oh, that was, yeah, the friend breakup is good.
But I don't know if that was,
because that is just so relevant.
Yeah. I don't know if that was 23. That was 22.
Yeah, that was like 21 or like, no, I think that was 21.
Oh, really? Oh my God. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think our attachment theory episode was so great. I definitely know a couple people who ended up buying the attachment theory workbook after that episode.
Oh, yay!
So it's just exciting to know that people are like,
love that book.
Yeah, love that book. And it's exciting to see like the follow through. It's just really fun to witness everybody getting excited from something and then wanting to take action or explore something for themselves more deeply. So I think that was just really fun for me.
I agree. Another kind of fun, easy question. Well, it could be and it could not be. If your year had a theme song, what would it be and why?
Do you want to know what just came to mind?
Yes.
But I don't mean it. I don't mean it. But I was just, I don't know why I've been having a Bowie phase. I think it's because my boyfriend's working on like a big cut with the brand he works for, and they got to license a Bowie song called The One Under Pressure. Mm-hmm. So that one just came to me. But I don't think Under Pressure is my theme song for the year, because that seems a little bit, that's not the right tone.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a song name that really surmises everything, but I can give you an energetic. And
okay.
I feel like this sounds kind of basic, but I really loved Taylor Swift's August. It just was such a good, I feel like that really encapsulated just the energetic for the year for me. It was just, let's lean into pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lean into joy. It felt very like pleasure practice oriented and just kind of like reminded me, and I play that song a lot, to just kind of like remind me of the joy, but also the nostalgia for things. It's very loaded. And I think it kind of summarizes my year in a good way.
Totally. I also love that song. I love how like dreamy and summery it is. And like just that it encapsulates that like summer magic to me, which you know, is the best. Okay. So for me also Taylor Swift, obviously. And it'd be a tie between Lavender Haze and
Love.
You Are in Love. Mm. Every time I fucking listen to that song, I can't listen to it because I cry every single time. And I will cry if you brought the lyrics. So I'm not going to do that because I've already started crying once on this episode. But those two songs, just because this year has been just very much love. Being with Zach and celebrating our 1 year anniversary and living together and like getting our cats and just building on this life that we have together. And it's just been love filled. So yeah, just love, 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 love. Okay, you go.
Okay. Again, I'm probably going to think more about the song thing. I'm going to have more answers. Of course. Okay.
I think everyone should know as well, we didn't tell each other these questions beforehand. So we are coming into this
hot
takes. Like we didn't think about it.
It's good though. It's like,
the tea is hot.
Yeah. It's nice to be unprimed, you know, just like what comes immediately to mind. Yeah. Okay. I actually have two more questions for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'll save this other one that I have as we recap because it's kind of fun. But what do you think is a important lesson that you learned this year?
I was literally just going to ask that same question. So for me, I think this year, it was really about sort of that it's okay to outgrow a dream job because I left TBM, which feels like not this year that happened. That feels like ages ago, that version of me that worked there. I feel so far removed from that already, which is wild that happened within this year. Growth is so funny. And that was something you can outgrow a dream job that I might have known in theory, but I don't think I knew it in my bones. And knowing it in my bones, it just took all the fucking pressure away, right? Because when you have a dream job, there's all of this expectation and like pressure around getting it right. And then keeping it. And there's this expectation of like, it has to fulfill you for all of time. And recognizing that it can't do that. It won't do that. It doesn't have to do that. It can just be for a period of time and it can fit you for that period of time. And then there's so much more after that is not the peak of the mountain. Like that was a small peak and there's going to be more peaks to come. Just made me really excited for the rest of my life and my career. And that my career is really just getting started. And I'm about to do not a big pivot because I'm still going to be in this world, but I am going to be doing it in a different way as, you know, I go into internship next year and then, you know, licensure from there. And it just made me really excited. And it made me really look hard at what I want to create and the things that I want to be a part of and like what serves me and what doesn't and the honesty that takes and the being brave when you're part of something that is popular and like walking away from that and doing your own thing. And yeah, I was really happy to learn all those lessons this year. And then I can do it on my own. I don't need to be a part of someone else's thing. I don't need to ride someone else's coattails. I can stand alone and I am more than capable of doing that. So I think that was cool.
That is epic. I know that was such a big thing for you. And it is wild that was this year because it feels
wild
so long ago.
It feels like literally years ago already.
It's crazy. I'm like taking this. I'm going to like re-listen to this when I feel like, because I have been attaching myself to a couple things like that. And I feel like I'm not quite there yet, but feeling guilt-free when you're like ready to step into the next phase. And
yeah,
just being like, it's okay. So anyways, mm-hmm. I love this. Like you're expanding me.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's major. The lesson. Okay. I was about to be like, what was the question I just asked? And I was like, it was lessons for this year.
What was that again?
Little pea brain over here. So I think my biggest lesson for this year, there's a few, but I think one of the ones that, okay, there's two here and they might be interconnected. I think one of my biggest lessons this year was realizing and learning how to receive my capacity to receive, whether it's like myself, my highest expression, compliments, right? Like whatever it may be, receiving. But then also, I think in tandem, sorry, because these are such fresh words, like I'm trying to formulate as I'm speaking, but I think it's along the lines of also not, and I don't want this to sound wrong, but being weary of who I share my light with.
Yes.
Because there have been moments this year that have been a little bit discouraging to me, but I've seen the silver lining in them and I've seen the really potent lesson in them that's helping me to get to this next level self that I've been working toward. And there have just been moments where I have witnessed literally like in real time, me sharing something I'm excited about, sharing something I'm building, sharing something I'm working on, big dreams that the person in front of me doesn't have the capability themselves to receive. And they've kind of shut down around it. Maybe I triggered them. Maybe they're now then beginning to like question and put down my light. And so I think it's been kind of a lesson of discernment, right? Like not first off, me not taking it personally when that happens, right? Because it's so, it can be something that you're like, oh my God, you like want to personalize it. But then realizing like, okay, that person's on their journey. But then kind of making sure that the people that you share your light and love with and that you hold close, right? Like that you keep in that circle can receive and can cheerlead you on and vice versa, right? Like it's that symbiotic relationship with one another where you both can give and take and not be threatened by that. So anyways, I think it's been really important. And I recently got my, this was kind of fun. I recently got my human design chart, like PDF, like it's like a literal 75 page booklet of my human design. It's so cool. It's, I got it through, I'll have to find the name, but it's called the Human Design Blueprint. I paid like $50 for it. Okay. And like,
you're like, all right, it's worth it. I paid. Was not cheap.
Was not cheap. But one of the things was that I recently, because this was a recent like purchase that I made, was that part of my chart tells me that I really need to trust my gut. And I think sometimes I override it a lot. I'll want to be like, I know I'm getting a gut check about this person, but I'm still going to go forward with it anyways. And I think now I think a bit of my lesson now has been like, girl, trust your gut. It's in your literal human design and pivot and don't think too hard about it. And you know, if someone can't receive you, that's okay. Just trust that and move on. Don't personalize it. Move on. So
yeah,
there's a lot in there. Sorry if that wasn't succinct or that was hard to track, but that's kind of my lesson.
No, I think that's so important. And to me, and you know, you're heading into this next year, but to me, those are the lessons of the 30s.
Yeah.
Is you're really like learning that hardcore. That for me, like that was the experience of this decade, was really recognizing those two things. Trusting myself fucking implicitly, and also because I'm just never wrong, and
truly
really being careful with like who you let in.
Yes.
And that's not coming from I'm closed, right? That's not coming from fear. That is coming from a place of trust, open, right? I always say like no brick walls but chain link fences instead, because you can like see through it and open it and close it, but like a brick wall you can't get in or let someone out. So it's still having that like chain link fence mentality, but being able to curate that I think is so important. And that changes so much as you grow and you change and like allowing for that. And we've talked about this in various times before, so I'm not going to get too far, but I think that those are important lessons to learn and lessons that I really associate with the 30s.
Mm, that's great. I love it. I love to hear it.
Yeah. I want to ask one thing before we get into like 2024. I want to ask you a question about that. But before we do, what is your favorite hobby that you started this year, if any? What are a couple of your favorite purchases, favorite shows, favorite movies?
Love.
Lay it on me.
Okay. Okay. Favorites.
What you read that was your favorite?
Okay. So my very favorite hobby that I reintroduced to my life, because this was something that was very prevalent in like my teenagehood, which I love kind of like going back and healing. I know people do a lot of inner child work. I think it's very fun to do like inner teenager work.
Totally.
Underrated. But one of my favorite things that I've reintroduced has been like vision boarding and collaging.
Yeah.
Just a very fun, lighthearted thing that keeps me very inspired. And it's been a big like through line through bedside in and of itself. So that's been so much fun to like bring everybody listening in on with all those monthly archetypes. So that great hobby, been loving that hobby. I want to do for 2024. I'm just going to say it. I want to get into doing some pottery, like pottery classes, playing with clay, making some cute home goods. We'll put a pin in that.
Cute. Yes. Love it.
Favorite book has been The Women Who Run with Wolves. No surprise there.
Again, I read that right before I turned 30. Such a good book as you like make this big transition.
Oh, so good. It's so good.
Okay.
Favorite purchase. Oh my gosh. I bought.
Or it could be purchases. It doesn't have to be just one thing.
Okay.
You can do it, list a couple.
Okay. Okay. A few of my favorite purchases. I've been trying to be much more intentional with my purchases. And that's another thing I'm trying to very much bring into 2024. Because I'm not going to lie, my finances got a little bit out of hand this year, but we're reeling it in. We're good. We're okay.
Guilty.
We're okay.
We're readjusting. We are rebalancing. But I hear you.
Same. Pivot.
Hand up.
Okay. Coolest thing I bought for myself, which was financially irresponsible, was I bought myself that epic birthday party. Okay. But listen, it came at a little bit of a cost. Another great purchase for myself.
So cool.
Any plane ticket I get for myself is always an incredible purchase. Can't go wrong with traveling. And I bought myself a gorgeous pair of new boots that I'm obsessed with.
Yes.
Really great. Nice white leather, pointy toe, super epic. And I'm looking over at my jewelry thing right now. A big thing that I've been working on has been investing in a little bit more jewelry this year. So I would say that is one of my favorite purchases. What about you?
A couple more things. Favorite show, favorite movie that you watched this year?
Oh.
Everything you read.
Favorite show this year? What has been on that I was really obsessed with? It's been a long year and I'm only thinking of like the past 3 months, you know? I'm like, I'm missing out on so many shows. Okay.
It's hard.
Favorite movie of this year was probably Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
I would say for sure that. And TV show I'm kind of blanking out on. I'm not going to lie, Amanda. I can't think of something right. You know what? I'll go to my Succession era. This was the first time I like really watched Succession and that was very fun. So that was my favorite show.
Okay. Hobby for me, dance. I feel like I was meant to be a dancer in this life. And I, you know, my mom couldn't afford dance classes. And then by the time I was like, I did take a couple, I was 16 and super insecure. And that insecurity held me back from being the beginner that you have to be when you start something new. And I have finally gotten over that. And I am consistently taking dance for the first time, and I am terrible, but I'm having the best time and I love it. It's so much fun. It's like a sexy dance. Like it's kind of like burlesque. Like it's called like Blink.
Oh, fun.
Something. Stretch and Slink. So it's like very sexy and
sensual.
And very sensual. And the dance teacher is incredible and I love it. So that has just been like really lighting me up. I'm also hoping that it will eventually help me meet friends. It has not yet, but I'm holding out hope. Let's see. What else do I have? Favorite purchases. These glasses. I've been wanting the Ray-Ban aviator glasses for so long, and I got them on Black Friday, and they are way better than the other glasses that I have. Like, I actually do need glasses, and I just have chosen to be blind. So being able to see has been such a gift. Also, strange thing, but really good, is the Harry Styles nail polish.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible nail polish.
Pleasing.
Incredible. Pleasing. It's so good. Like, such high quality. Stays really well. Goes on really well. I just have nothing but good things to say about it. And then Violet FR, she's a French makeup artist and her brand is Violet FR. And she has this lipstick. I have like another lipstick from her that I really loved. And so I wanted to get a red lip because I just, you know, like what's better than like a bold red lip? And so I got her Petal Bouche Matte in the... I cannot pronounce this. CEREISEDESIR shade. And it is the one that I wore on Thanksgiving. And it just is so flattering and looks so beautiful. And I really love it. There's probably other ones. Oh, these headphones.
Those are on my Christmas list.
Obsessed with these headphones. They're incredible. The best headphones ever in life. Favorite show. This isn't new.
She's wearing Apple Air Max.
Yeah, Air Maxes. And I got them engraved too, which I love. And then this isn't new, but we rewatched The Sopranos.
Yes.
And holy shit.
Wait, I did too.
Is that a good show?
It's fucking so good.
It's so good. Also, wild what was allowed to be said in the 90s and early aughts TV. I was like, that was a fucking wild fucking time. Oh, wow. It's just so good.
Yeah.
So good and so powerful. And I really enjoyed that. And then also right now we're watching For All Mankind, which is a show about the space race on Apple. And it's incredible. Highly recommend it. And then favorite movie, I would say also Barbie. Like, just what an incredible love letter to women.
Yeah.
Just so beautiful. Like, I just felt so seen and celebrated in that movie. And then favorite book, I didn't read as much this year because I'm in grad school. So I'm like reading so many articles and like books for school. But the one that I just read most recently that I thought was incredible was Demon Copperhead. Oh God, what a book.
Oh.
It's one of those that it's like, it's fucking devastating, but it does have a nice ending. But it is not as heartbreaking as A Little Life, if you know, you know. But it's up there. But it was still really amazing writing, incredible writing, and just a really powerful book.
Okay. I'm adding it to the list. I've never read that one.
Very good.
I forgot to say another show in there. I'm just going to throw in there, Shrinking on Apple TV. That was great.
Oh, I loved that. Yeah, when we watched that, we fell in love with Jessica Williams.
Yes.
We were like, so she's incredible.
Yeah.
We love her. Every episode, we were just like, oh, Jessica.
So fun. Love it. Was there...
So, do you want to do last questions?
Yeah, let's do last questions.
Okay. I'll just ask it because that's fine.
Yeah.
What are your goals and dreams for next year?
Okay. So, you guys are getting this because before me having even mapped this out, which is like, I feel like I've been wanting to really sit down and in that follicular phase energy, like really just like hash through all of the different categories of my life. But I think a couple things. So first, this is just like more play related, but I really, and I'm not saying this in like a fitness sense, I really want to get back into running. It's something that has been a huge part of my life. I used to run cross country. For me, running was a really just big part of my happiness. I used to like trail run all the time. It was a really big pleasure practice. It's just something that when I moved to LA, I was just like, ah, everything's so concrete here. And I think I'm just going to find other like outlets for movement. But it's just a movement outlet I've been wanting to re-explore. Who knows where it will take me, but it's just kind of a very playful, not super fitness oriented. It's just more like I'm framing it as a pleasure practice that I've been really wanting to get into. So
yep,
that's something more small. I think, oh my God, I feel like when it comes to career and stuff, it's pretty big, but it's exciting to step into. I have a really big vision for what's to come for Bedside. I know I've alluded to this many times on the show. I'm still keeping it kind of under wraps because there's not so much I can like share right now that would be beneficial, but I have been working really hard on building a sexual wellness consumer packaged goods brand. And it has been making monumental strides, as in like we literally just got the green light on one of our formulations and we're going to be getting samples. So it's moving.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a 2024 launch or early 2025. I mean, we'll see what timing turns out to be. But it's big.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's very cool. Wow. I'm very excited for that. Yeah. I also know what it is and I'm very excited. So any other goals, even if they're little, besides running? Any dream? Any wish list?
Honestly, I feel like I'm going to have to like come back and like do a full thing. But I think one of the things that I'm excited to continue doing in terms of career / funsies is I wrote this for last year and I think I've stepped into it, but I'm really starting to step more into it, is just showing up more online in a fun, just lighthearted way and not taking things so seriously, like just being like a creator over a consumer, not worrying so much about like, is this perfect? And just being like putting it out there,
totally.
Having fun with creating content and not making such a big deal of it. And tying back to running, I was even thinking, I was like, I should create a fun vlog series about me getting back into running because why the heck not, right? Like, let's just play.
Absolutely.
So I think there's a lot of momentum But I'm also just trying to like remind myself we're here to play and have fun and it's not so fucking serious. So what about you?
I also love running and I miss it so much, but my energy levels don't support it. Like my cortisol and my adrenals and stuff. And my naturopath is like, you should not run. So I would like to get back to a point where those are more in balance so that I can, because I love it too. 6 miles is always like my favorite amount of mileage to run. It's just like, you feel awesome. It's like an hour. It's a perfect day. It's just a fun time.
It's so good.
It's just such good for like getting out of your head and clearing the shit.
I'll say too, as like a caveat, that's one of the reasons why I kind of stopped running, was because my cortisol was out of whack. My adrenals were out of whack. And I feel like now I'm in a place where I'm like, okay, we can maybe revisit this. So
totally.
It's a curiosity.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
I love that. So my goals for 2024, the biggest one, the thing that I'm working on the most, is getting my internship squared away and like starting that and getting that done. I'm just raring to go, and I'm in the sort of finding and applying places, because unfortunately my online program doesn't do placement, which makes it's like on me. So it's like, so yeah, doing that. And I'm really excited and really just, again, raring to go for that experience. Other goals, like to get pregnant, which is a wild thing to say.
Wow.
Well, you know, fingers crossed, but it's crazy after wanting to avoid pregnancy for so long to be like suddenly like flip it and be like, let's get pregnant. That just is weird. And then I also.
What do you feel like? I'm just curious. I like need to ask you. What do you feel like changed your mind?
Well, we just feel ready. For me, I would love to wait 5 more years, but I don't have 5 more years. Mm-hmm. Like for my career, I would love that.
Yeah.
But in terms of like Zach and I's relationship and, you know, where we are, we feel like we can take that on. And I've been ready for a family for a while, but like career wise, do I feel like next year is the most aligned time for career? I don't, but that's okay. It doesn't need to be perfect. I'll figure it the fuck out. It'll be fine. But yeah, I feel what's like really shifted is meeting Zach.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I finally found someone who I want to start a family with. And like, I'm so excited to do that. We're also though, and this is not a comment on this, but we're not going to do anything to help that process if we don't get pregnant naturally. That is what it is. And we'll just be happy with his son from his previous marriage and our cats, and that'll be enough. But you know, we're going to try and see if it's in the cards. So we'll see. A really big goal too is I'd love to pay off what I owe the IRS from the couple years that I didn't set aside my taxes, and I did not do quarterly taxes, which now I am doing and I feel really good about. But I would love to have that done and paid off and not on that stupid payment plan, because I hate having that. So I'd love to pay that off. And just like dreams, I want to go back to Europe. I miss the Mediterranean. I miss the south of France. Like there's no tomorrow. And I'd love to go back with Zach, because like that's really where I was sort of like falling in love with him. And I would love to like go back with him. This is where I was. And because, you know, I was like telling him about it all the time, and it'd be fun to like show him. And I would also love to really want to go to Japan. I'd love to be able to like swing a Europe and Japan trip, which is like asking for a lot, but I would love that. And yeah, I think so far those are like the big, big goals.
I love
really getting my internship, getting that done, maybe getting pregnant. That'll be towards the end of the year that I want to do that. And then, you know, like I have, like I'm planning and God laughs, but you know, that's when we'll try and getting that little IRS bill paid off.
Yes. Oh my God. I know. You mentioning finances, I'm like, there's definitely a few things that I'm ready to like button up. And I think I have I'm going back to the attachment episode. I definitely have avoidant tendencies, which then play out sometimes into my finances. So then I like to just bury my head in the sand and be like, whatever, put it on the card.
Yeah.
But we're changing those. We're changing some of those behaviors.
We're changing those habits. I had that same tendency with my taxes those 2 years.
Yeah.
I was dumb.
Yeah. But you know what? You lived a rich 2 years.
I really did. And honestly, fucking no regrets. I had a great time. No regrets.
I love it.
It is what it is.
I love it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So 2023, give it an overall grade. A to F.
Oh.
A being like in school, like great.
Yes, yes.
F like, ooh, hated it.
Oh my God. Full on A+.
Yeah.
I am so happy. I really feel like I came into myself in a way that I haven't yet. And I'm excited to keep doing it. I really trusted my gut. I just showed up for myself in ways I didn't know I could, but I still did it anyways. And I'm just pumped for what else is to come, you know? It was,
yeah.
I would say to get to this A-plus year took a couple like B, maybe C years, especially when I was like really, really struggling in the midst of more of like my mental health and my anxiety. And I feel like now I'm like, oh, okay. We've surpassed, or we've learned how to manage and still thrive. So A plus for me. What about you?
A plus.
A plus.
I'm living my dream life. Yeah. I have everything that I've been wanting. So literally no complaints.
Ah, I love it.
The best.
It's so fun.
So everything is just
A-okay.
Yeah. And I'm excited to keep in that and like build and grow and change and, you know, yeah, overall amazing. I really have to be. And I have a client at 3:30.
Oh my God. We really, really went over. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you for being here. Let us know how your 2023 was. And we can't wait to talk to you in 2024.
Yes, we can.
This will already be 2024. So we'll continue talking to you in this new year.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to send this episode around to a friend, rate and review. You know, it helps us get into as many ears as possible. And yeah, happy new year.
Happy new year.
We'll catch you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Betside Podcast. I hope you loved this episode as much as we did making it. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes, or if you just want to chat, don't hesitate to reach out to us at The Bedside on Instagram and thebedside.co online. You can also find us at By The Bedside on TikTok. To stay updated on our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. And if you found this episode valuable, I would so greatly appreciate if you could leave us a rating, a review, text it to a friend, share it to your Instagram stories. Let's get this message out there loud and clear. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.